This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, February 24th, Gillette Stadium. Another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast. I'm Andy Hart, flying solo this week as Paul Perillo and Eric Scalavino are on site at the 2012 NFL Scouting Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium. A slightly different event than the one we covered there about 3 weeks ago. And hopefully overall it'll have a better outcome. Maybe the Patriots will come away with some impact talent out of this year's draft class. New England holds the 27th and 31st picks in the first round. But that's a different topic for a different day. We are here to talk about some roster moves, and we have some to discuss. The first major moves, I would say, of what should be a very interesting offseason. One of the hot topics is obviously Wes Welker's future, the free agent to be. Will he be slapped with the franchise tag? We are in the window with which the team can use that. And Nick Caserio, the director of player personnel here in New England, spoke with the New England media outside the media center at the scouting combine last night. You can see that video and read those quotes on Patriots.com. But he was non-committal on everything. Basically just said they'll do their due diligence on all the various free agents and their representatives and move forward as they would in any offseason. They just have a little bit later head start in that area. But as I said, they did make some moves this week. Two players were released, two players who spent last season on injured reserve. Patriots cut ties with offensive lineman Rich Ornberger and defensive lineman Mike Wright. Ornberger, a former fourth-round pick in 2009, Patriots traded up to get him out of Penn State. Obviously had high hopes for him, and he never really developed into anything. Played five games in his career, missed all of last season to an injury, and was kind of known more as a team clown or locker room presence than anything he ever did on the football field here in New England. And he just hasn't been able to develop, stay healthy, and become a part of that mix along the offensive line. But the bigger story is obviously Wright. The former undrafted free agent has really battled concussion issues over the last two seasons. Finished 2010 on injured reserve with a concussion injury. At the time, people reported that he couldn't sit in rooms with bright lights, couldn't watch TV, had lots of post-concussion issues. Was back on the field for training camp last year, dealt with some other injuries, and then was on the field for the opener in Miami. Took one hit to the side of his head. He described it as not as big a hit as the one that originally caused the issue, I believe, against the Colts a year earlier, but still caused dizziness and issues, went to the sideline, and did not play again last year. Was not on IR immediately, and then in October, I believe, went on IR, talked about the newfound respect he had for the brain, the way the body's worked with it, and everything that was involved with it in terms of just getting out of a chair, standing up, balance, lighting, watching TV, and really spoke at the time that he was more worried about his long-term ability to live a normal life more so than a football career. And we see that now. Mike Wright, after, I believe, six seasons in New England, last year was his seventh season. Former undrafted player, was a great story, really epitomized kind of, you know, that bottom of the roster Belichick type player in this era. Came in from Cincinnati, made the roster as a surprise as a rookie, played 13 games, then played 16 games in three of the next 4 years. Really developed into a versatile backup defensive lineman. Even started nine games in 2009. Had a career high of 5.5 sacks in 2010. You know, re-signed with the team and really was a, if you can have a core backup, he was a core backup and played defensive end, played defensive tackle, nose tackle at times, was a bit of a pass rusher, sort of a jack of all trades, covered kickoffs, great athlete. And unfortunately, you know, as becoming more of an issue these days in all of sports, not just football, concussions really brought an end to his career here in New England. And you wonder, probably an end to his career overall in the NFL based on the severe symptoms he's had over the last year and a half in dealing with the concussion. So Mike Wright, no longer a member of the New England Patriots, and that adds, I think, to a need along the defensive line. You know, you look at it last year, the only guy you could really count on was Vince Wilfork. His playing time skyrocketed, playing end and tackle. And you look at, you know, what they have beyond him on the depth chart. It's a lot of unproven, low-level draft picks slash undrafted players. Kyle Love played a big role last year. Brandon Dedrick played a role. Ron Brace has not yet developed into much of a role player for this team. Started the year on PUP. Yet again, Myron Pryor was injured. So not a lot of proven talent on the depth chart. Both Gerard Warren and Sean Ellis are free agents and probably will not be back. So you look at defensive line. It's Vince Wilfork, a few unproven young guys, and not much else, and that's only added to the need with the fact that Mike Wright is no longer with the team. And I would say the same thing about the Ornberger being cut. You know, you look at the interior offensive line, Dan Copen's a free agent, Dan Conley's a free agent, Brian Waters is considering retirement. You may have a greater need there, as some guys like Ornberger have failed to develop into legitimate options on the interior line. So these moves this week sort of fall in line with the combine schedule this week and the team in Indy doing its work as it takes the next step towards the April 26th draft. Patriots have two picks in each of the first two rounds, and I would say defensive line and offensive line, you know, with these moves coming and with the other things you look at on the depth chart, could become in play there for both those positions. A few other tidbits out of Indianapolis. Andre Carter's agent has said that he has had some preliminary talks with the team about Carter returning to New England. Carter had surgery to repair his torn quad, obviously had a Pro Bowl season in his 1 year in New England, 10 sacks, tied for a team high with Mark Anderson, and is obviously one of those older players, but great physical condition, works very hard. If he chooses to come back and if the Patriots want him to come back, it's an interesting possibility. Again, not a lot of depth on that defensive line, certainly not a lot of depth at pass rusher, so it'll be interesting to see if Carter is indeed part of the Patriots' plans and if he can rehab to the point where he's back with the team. Other notes out of Indy, free agency, everybody is on the Mike Wallace bandwagon. Kevin Colbert, the Steelers president of player personnel, said yesterday in almost in definitive terms, it doesn't look like Wallace will be leaving. He wants to stay there. The team has the final say there. So I know a lot of Patriots fans were interested in Mike Wallace and the potential of him becoming a Patriot. I wouldn't get your hopes up too high on that. Other wide receiver news, in case you're interested, Moss TV held another episode last night or two nights ago, said nothing. Except he learned to some degree what the definition of a Cleveland steamer was. And if you don't know what that is, look it up on urbandictionary.com. But really has nothing to do with football, the Cleveland Browns, or Randy Moss. And has more to do with something like that. But it is that time. It's the offseason. It's comings. It's goings. Pittsburgh Steelers renegotiating a lot of contracts to get under the cap, maybe to keep a guy like Wallace. Patriots in decent shape with the cap, somewhere in the range of $20 million available. We are waiting on a decision with Wes Welker that could come in the next week plus. I believe the deadline is March 5th for the team to slap a franchise tag on him. I'd be stunned if they do not reach a long-term deal if they do not use the tag on him. And keep an eye out for comments out of Indy. Friday is agent day. They hold a big meeting there in Indianapolis. David Dunn should be there, the agent for Wes Welker. And obviously all New England reporters will be looking for him and to get a comment out of him, much like they were last year when Frank Bauer threw a little gasoline on the negotiations between Logan Mankins and the Patriots. But until next week, we will be here to keep track of all the moves, all the news out of Indy. Any additional roster moves that may come from the Patriots. It is that time of year. We're moving towards the new league year, free agency, the draft. Cap becomes a consideration. Teams start cutting players, making moves, reworking deals, and we will have all of it for you each and every Friday here on Patriots.com on the Patriots.com Roster Report podcast. For myself, Andy Hart, and for no one else, since no one else chose to join me here in studio today, I'm going to say have a wonderful February day, and we'll talk to you next Friday. Peace out. Stop. The train is riding down to the station where you live. When we were school kids. This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson. Download the podcast now.